Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
We're going to talk a little bit today about Independence Day, right? It's 4th of July weekend, and we're all psyched, and it's wonderful. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that all means. Now, I don't know if you guys have observed this as the years have gone on, but Independence Day has sort of gone the way of many other holidays, and it has devolved into its lowest common denominator. Now, there are lowest common denominators for most holidays, and the lowest common denominator for Independence Day is barbecues, a three-day weekend, and explosives, right? Those are the things. That's what it's fireworks and barbecue and a three-day weekend. And I am a big fan of all those things, okay? I love me a three-day weekend. I love to eat some barbecue, and I love explosions a lot, okay? So I'm into all those things. I'm all about it. But we don't, it's almost like we as a culture, we don't celebrate Independence Day. We celebrate the 4th. And we say, hey, happy 4th, have a happy 4th, great, you know, we celebrate the 4th of July. And we sometimes can forget that the 4th of July is Independence Day. Like, it's the day, we're marking the day that we decided we were no longer going to be subject to the crown. It's the day we decided we're not going to be part of that country anymore. And it's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. We don't think about it enough, but it is. Because America has been like a global superpower for so long that it's hard to remember sometimes that we were once just a bunch of British colonies. Like that this nation began as a bunch of colonies from England. And that's how it started. And then over years, we just kind of decided, our founding fathers decided, some of whom we've heard of, others of whom we never heard of, decided we're not going to be subject to the crown anymore. This isn't fair. We are no longer going to recognize their authority over us. We are going to declare our independence. Now, that was a radical, radical thing. Because they knew that declaring their independence was going to lead to war. They knew this wasn't, like, England wasn't going to just go, oh, okay, guys, bye-bye. Like, they knew England, like, we're going to go to war. This is going to get ugly. This is going to be bloody. Men are going to die. There's going to be wounding and blood and horror and just the awfulness of war is going to come to visit. And it's going to be this horrible thing. And these guys who were basically farmers, right? Agricultural workers, people who were working, you know, in and amongst these 13 colonies, they decided they were going to put together militia to go up against the most fearsome military machine on the planet, the British Army and the British Navy. I mean, the Redcoats were trained killers. These guys knew a little bit about combat. The British Empire was an enormous thing back in those days. And so these common farmers and people picked up weapons and somehow decided they were going to go to war against the British Army. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was just the biggest uphill battle you can imagine in your life. And eventually our independence was won and we declared victory and said, we're no longer subject to that. We have gained independence. And because of that, it's a free country. Now we say, once in a while we say, oh, it's a free country. Usually we say it sarcastically, right? Like, oh, can I sit here? It's a free country. Right? Like it's just something we say, you know, we say it offhand. We say it like it's no big deal. But when you think about it, if you just like tee up, pump the brakes for a minute, it's a free country. That's a huge deal. Lots of countries on the planet are not free. Right? And all you got to do is travel to a third world country or a developing country or a country with a dictatorial government and you'll start to understand how precious a thing freedom is and how hard it was to win it and fight it and how hard it is to protect it. I think sometimes we don't understand freedom because it's all we've ever known. You know, like unless you were born somewhere else, if you've ever lived in another country, you might get it. But I think as Americans, we grew up here. We were born here and we grew up here. And if we've never known what it's like to be under someone else's government, it's almost like we're a fish in water. Like if I could talk to a goldfish in a bowl and say, hey, how's the water? If the goldfish could talk back to me, he'd probably say, what water? Like the goldfish doesn't know he's in water because it's all he's ever known. You follow? We don't know from freedom because it's all we've ever known. We breathe it. It's just a part of our culture. But if you fought a war on foreign soil, if you served in the military, if you know, or you know what it's like to live under someone else's government, you get maybe a little idea of how big a deal freedom is. And the fact that it's a free country shouldn't just be a sarcastic password. That should be something that we honor and go, dude, that's a big deal. Now, how tragic would it be if we fought for our independence and won our independence, but didn't ever experience it? Let me ask that question another way. Are any of you paying taxes to England right now? Anybody? Any British citizens in the room? No, nobody, right? None of us are paying taxes to England. We used to have to pay taxes to England. Many years ago, we had to pay taxes to England. No more, right? We now have our own government to tax us. Thank you very much. They do a great job of that. We pay taxes to the American government and the state and whoever we pay taxes to. We don't have to pay taxes to England anymore. We no longer recognize the sovereignty of the crown. That monarchy doesn't rule us anymore. We're a free country. We're a separate nation. Can you imagine how tragic it would be if we won our freedom and then never experienced it? The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ is very, very similar. It cost blood. It cost horror and death. And it won something precious for us. And yet there are many who never actually experience it. Listen to this. This is from Galatians chapter 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. God sent Jesus to the earth to buy our freedom. Now, if you're new, you're kind of like, if you're new to church, you've never been to church before, and you're kind of like just diving into these waters, and this is still a little fuzzy for you. Here's where it starts. All of us have sinned. All of us have screwed up somewhere along the way. Yes? I'm sorry to lead with that. If you're new, you might not believe that. If you're new, you might just walked in and gone, well, I came to church today. Thank you very much. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. A lot of people didn't go to church. I came to church. I'm doing good today, right? Absolutely. That's awesome. But the truth is, we have all sinned somewhere along the way. We've all screwed up somewhere along the way. And if you don't believe that about yourself, I'm not trying to get all up in your face, but I'm letting you know, like this, if you're perfect and you've never sinned, that's great, but you should go to church somewhere else because everybody in here is messed up. Okay? Me too, all right? Everybody here is kind of messed up. Everyone here has screwed up along the way. Everyone here has done some stuff that we're ashamed of. Everybody here in the room has kind of offended God at some point, and that sin creates distance. It creates distance between us and God. It creates a check that needs to be paid, a balance that has to be paid. And what God did was he said, that distance is not gonna be okay. That distance is not something you're ever gonna be able to cover. I'm gonna send my son to purchase your freedom. So what Jesus did was he came to earth and died and rose from the dead so that God could allow, now I know it's an abstract concept, but stay with me. God could allow a transference, a once and for all time transference, so that when we sin in the here and now in 2016, and we confess our sin to God, he lifts our guilt up off of us and he places it onto the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Jesus pays for it and we go free from it. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That's how it works. We are freed from it. He purchases our freedom with his very blood. And yet there are some who don't actually experience that. It's almost like, imagine, have you guys ever found yourself, anybody here ever found themselves in the very awkward position of being at a restaurant and being at the middle or the end of a meal and suddenly realizing that you don't have your wallet? Has that ever happened to anybody here? Yeah, a few of you, right? Some of us have been there. And if you haven't been there, you can imagine it, okay? Imagine you come to the end of your meal, and it was a big meal. I mean, you ordered appetizers, you had some dessert. Like, there were several layers to the meal, and it's a big meal, it's a big bill, and you come to the end of it. Now, if you are alone, sheer panic is your response, right? If you're alone, you're like, oh no. And I don't actually know how it works. I don't think they would actually make you go in the back and wash dishes. Like, that's how it used to in the old movies. I don't think that's actually how it works, but something probably would happen. And they would say, yeah, well, we're very sorry. You're still on the hook to pay for this. You better call somebody or borrow the money or figure out, because the restaurant isn't just going to give you a free meal. You got to pay your bill. Now, if you're alone. Now, if you're with somebody, you have to have that awkward conversation, don't you? You have to go, ooh, sorry, man. And you're going to have to endure whatever garbage your friend wants to throw at you because you deserve it. Really? Yeah, you forgot your wallet. How convenient. Need me to pick up the bill again? Sure. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Now, hopefully, what happens in that moment is your friend says, don't worry about it, I got it, you get me next time, or I'll pay you back at work tomorrow, or whatever it is you say. And in that moment, your friend has to cover your debt. Everybody with me so far? You ate, you got things, you ordered things, you had your meal, and now somebody else has to pay the bill. Spiritually speaking, this is us at the table with a bill in front of us. And the bill isn't a bill for a meal. The bill is a list of our sins, and there's a lot on there, okay? We've gone ahead and we've done some stupid stuff. Okay, there's some stuff on this bill that we're not ever gonna be able to pay for. There are things on this bill that we are in real trouble for. There is real debt that has been created, real distance that has now been put between us and God. And the bill has come and we're here in front of this thing going, I don't have a way to pay for this. I'm not ever gonna be able to pay for this. It would cost me my very soul to pay for this. I need help. And in that moment, what we need is not a couple of bucks. What we need in that moment is not a temporary loan. What we need in that moment is a savior. We need a savior in that moment. We need somebody to reach across the table and slide the bill away from us and say, I got this. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to go ahead and pay the bill. You were the one that did those things. I'm going to take this on myself. I will pay for it, and you will go free from it. That's how salvation works. That's how the gospel works. Jesus takes our sin, he pays for it, we go free of it. And there's no, oh, I'll pay you back, I promise. There's no, oh, I'll do better, I'll read my Bible more, I'll give more, I'll pray more, I'll be a better, that's just not how it works. You don't pay God back for this. Salvation is a priceless gift. Now what you do is you live in response to it. Now what you do is you go, oh my gosh, like my sins have been forgiven. I get to go free. I'm going to live in freedom and experience freedom and walk in freedom and live my life in response to that precious gift. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This is Ephesians 1, 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son. That's what it cost him to pay the check. That's what it cost him to pay the bill. That's what it took to cover our debt. So it's paid. Jesus takes our sin unto himself and we get to go free of it. And yet, we still sometimes act as if the debt is unpaid. So some of us are in it, like for some of us, like the prison cell has been unlocked, the door has been opened, the paperwork has been processed, and we're free to go, but we're still sitting in that cell. You don't have to sit in that cell anymore. You don't have to sit in that booth, in that diner, trying to figure out how you're gonna pay your bill. You don't have to pay taxes to England anymore. Your freedom has been secured. You get to go free of those things. So sometimes, despite the fact that our freedom has been purchased and we get to go free, sometimes we still live imprisoned. And so with the time we have remaining left this morning, I want to talk to you about three areas where we need to experience Independence Day, where we need to experience freedom, not just as an intellectual concept, but as a real, like Monday through Friday, going to work, living at home, driving around Long Island, living our life, experience. We need to experience freedom. First place we need to experience freedom is the freedom from our tendency to live a self-centered life. We need to experience freedom from the tyranny of us. Did you know that you're very hard to please? Did you know that about yourself? Oh, you didn't know that about yourself. You are. You are a ruthless taskmaster. When you become all about you, life becomes very difficult. When life is all about you, you're on a fast track to misery. It's the truth, and that is countercultural, buddy. That swims way upstream against everything you've heard. Many of you have been taught, like through your life, live your life in such a way that you can become independently wealthy and then focus only on you. Live your life in such a way that you can just gain enough money and have enough material possessions that then you can spend the rest of your life just all about you, meeting your needs, doing whatever you want. When that happens, you become a black hole. You know what I mean? Space, like, I'm gonna study these things. I'm gonna do a sermon on these things. I don't know how I'm gonna pull it off. I'm gonna pull it off. I'm gonna study these things and learn. A black hole, like, is this thing spinning and spinning and spinning around in space, and it exerts a gravitational pull on everything around it. Things light years away are affected by a black hole, and it just inward and inward and inward, and everything gets spun down and crushed. And eventually, as a black hole gains traction and as it gains power over hundreds of years, over thousands of years sometimes, eventually it gets so big, it collapses on itself, it forms something called a singularity, and then it implodes. That's what life is like when you become all about you. It's just all about me, and everything starts to revolve around you, and everything becomes about your needs, and you just suck the life out of everything around you, and then eventually you implode. That's what happens when it becomes all about you. You've heard me talk about this, and it's time now to experience this freedom. It's time now to say, I am gonna stop living my life all about me. I'm gonna honor God and love others and serve all and make my life a blessing to other people. And I wanna make that my Monday through Friday living life reality, not just a Sunday sermon reality. Everybody with me on that? Because it's easy to come to church and go, oh, yeah, it's good, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Great, awesome. And then you leave and just there's no difference, okay? It's time for us to experience this and say, I'm gonna live my life outward bound. Others of you, we need to experience freedom from the guilt of our past. We need to experience freedom from the guilt of our past. There are some of you here, there are things you've confessed to God like 100 times, right? You did something and you've been confessing it to God like every day for a year, okay? Stop it. Stop. Here's why. When you confess your sin to God, when you go to God and you know you've screwed up, you know you did something wrong and you came off the rails and you blew it, you know that. You come to God and you repent. Repentance is a change of course. It's a turning of your heart. So when you come to God and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that anymore, please forgive me. God lifts that guilt up off of you. He places it onto the shoulders of Jesus Christ. It is paid for. He chucks it as far as the east is from the west. It is fully and finally expunged from your soul, leaving no remaining trace whatsoever. The cell is open. The bill is paid. You don't have to pay the taxes anymore, and yet still we remain. We just think, well, maybe I didn't word my forgiveness enough. Maybe I'm not quite sorry enough. Maybe I haven't been quite, I haven't shown quite enough repentance. Maybe I haven't cried enough or shed enough tears to show God that I'm really sorry. So we keep confessing it and confessing it and confessing it. And what we're saying, we don't realize that we're saying it. What we're saying is that we secretly are not sure that God can forgive us. We're secretly not sure that the blood of Jesus is gonna cover us. And so where people end up, they don't realize they're ending up here, but where people end up is kind of thinking, well, I'm pretty sure that God forgives everybody, but not me. God's forgiveness is great for everybody else in church. I sincerely believe everybody else, their sins are forgiven and they all walk free. But you don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've been a part of. You don't know the sins that I've committed. If you knew the sins that I've committed, you would still have the same guilt as me. And could I just be confrontational with you for a hot minute? You're making commentary on the efficacy of the cross. You don't get to make commentary on the efficacy of the blood of Christ. You don't get to say, well, the blood of Jesus can cover everybody else, but the blood of Jesus can't cover me. That's just wrong. That's not the truth. And you don't get to say that Jesus' blood is ineffective to cover you. It is. So when you remain in that prison cell, when you sit there with a paid bill, a bill that says paid in full, and you're still pounding your head on the table at that diner trying to figure out how to pay it, you're making commentary on God's ability to forgive you. You don't get to make that kind of commentary. You get to go free. And some of us need to experience that, to walk out of the cell and say, I'm done with it. So we need to experience freedom from the tyranny of self-centered living. We need to experience freedom from the guilt of our past. And some of us need to experience freedom from those secret or not so secret addictions we've been harboring. Some of you are here and you are one notch south of being a functional alcoholic. Some of you are here, you're one notch south. You need several drinks a day just to regulate yourself. Like, you need enough alcohol to knock out a normal human being just to be okay. Now, some of you, when I start talking like that, a few of you in the room get very squirmy. I actually could see a few of you shifting uncomfortably in your seats because you're wondering, is he thinking about me? Is this about me? Does he know me? I don't know you. I'm not talking about you. I don't have anybody in mind when I say this. Just in a room of this size, in a church of our size, there's a percentage of you struggling with an alcohol addiction. Some of you are struggling with a drug addiction or some other chemical addiction, and you're telling yourself that you can manage it. You've got this rabid dog on a leash, and you're like, oh, no, it's cool, I got it. He's not gonna bite me. It's gonna bite you. You will not be the exception to this rule. You try to manage this, it goes badly for you. That's a prison sentence. That's death waiting for you there. And this might be alcohol, it might be a chemical addiction, this might be your viewing habits online, a pornography addiction can get its hooks into you just the same. This could be a toxic relationship. There are lots of different forms that an addiction can take. But some of you right this minute, you know what I'm talking about, and it's time for you to go free of it. It's time for you to say, you know what? I'm gonna get some help. I'm gonna call this what it is. I'm gonna join a 12-step group. I'm gonna get a sponsor. I'm gonna get some therapy. I'm gonna get some help. And guess what? You're in a great church, because as I said earlier, all of us are messed up. All of us are recovering from something, yes? That's a yes. All of us are recovering from something. So what we need in these moments is to stop thinking of independence as an abstract concept and say, I'm gonna experience freedom from the tyranny of me. I'm gonna experience freedom from the guilt of my past. I'm gonna experience freedom from the things that I am secretly or not so secretly addicted to. We have something to say about whether or not we're experiencing these things. Listen to this, I'll close with this verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And I don't ever do this, but I want to read these words out loud. I want all of us to read these words out loud. Okay, on three. One, two, three. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. One more time. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom, not shame, not guilt, not condemnation, not woe, not you withering away in a prison, not you banging your head on the table at the diner. You can go free from the prison. You don't have to pay that bill anymore. You're done paying taxes to England. Independence Day has come. Now all we have to do is put our faith in him and believe. We walk across the bridge and experience those things that God has set up for us to experience. I want to live that kind of life. May that be so in my life, and may it be so in each of your lives, I pray in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. We do. And we thank you for purchasing our freedom with the blood of your very Son. And we thank you for setting up our independence. And we confess that there are times when we don't live in it, when we remain under the tyranny of our own desires, when we remain imprisoned by the guilt of our past for things you've already forgiven us for. And when we walk the earth addicted to things and plugged into poisonous things and things that are only going to kill our soul, cause us, Father, to be men and women who possess enough faith to trust you and step out in freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.